Welcome to Poolsville Presbyterian Church. We're located in the town of Poolsville in western Montgomery County, Maryland. Poolsville Presbyterian Church is a member of the National Capital Presbytery. You're always welcome to join us as we worship our Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. Our scripture reading comes from the book of Proverbs, chapter 8, verses 1 through 4 and 22 through 31. In its message titled, Part of It All, Reverend David Williams tells us that God has given us the freedom to choose and the power to shape our world. Shaping our world includes relating to and caring for others. God asks us to do what is right and provide grace to everyone. Let us now join Reverend Williams as he explains God's word.
Please be seated. As we gather here in worship and in God's presence this morning, we gather as human beings, as souls who often struggle to see the souls of others. It's a hard thing because ours is a world filled with objects and ours is a society that teaches us to view the world in terms of objects, of things, of possessions, of that which we can grasp. And the challenge all of us face is that as we connect with one another, it is very easy to take that mindset and apply it to everything, to every person, to every being, because just as you don't see what's going on in here and in here, I don't see what's happening in each of you, not in the truth and depth of it. And because our vision is limited, it's so easy just to fall into viewing others as things, as objects. And that sabotages our compassion and limits our grace. And it is the great weight of that sin that can shape the way we live in the world. And so right now, let's admit that that's a thing all humankind must struggle with, and us in particular. Let's admit that by bringing it before God in prayer. The prayer of confession is printed in our bulletin. Please join with me in praying it. Gracious and loving God, as part of that great opening story of our faith, we hear that we're in charge of things. You have set us into your creation and given us the freedom to create and the freedom to choose and shape our world. In that there is power. But as with all power, what matters is not the power itself, but in the way that is used. As with all relationships, what matters is the depth of love we manifest for the living creatures around us. We're not doing so well at that, Lord. We see a world full of objects, of things we can use however we wish. In our grasping and in our desire, we manage to do harm. In our pride and our greed, we do not show the care you'd call us to express. Forgive us, Lord, for the ways we don't fulfill our commitment to care for your creation. In Christ Jesus we ask this. Amen. Listen now for the assurance of God's pardon. Who is in a position to condemn? Only Christ, who lived for us, died for us, and reigns in power for us. Anyone who is in Christ is a new creation altogether. The past is finished and gone. Everything is fresh and new. Friends, what is the good news of the gospel? In Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Today's third scripture reading is drawn from the book of Proverbs. I'll be reading from Proverbs chapter 8, verses 1 through 4, and then verses 22 through 31. You can follow along on page 590 and 591 in your pew Old Testament. Let's now listen a third time for God's word. Does not wisdom call, and does not understanding raise her voice? On the heights, beside the way, at the crossroads, she takes her stand. Beside the gates in front of the town, at the entrance of the portals, she cries out, "To you, O my people, I call, and my cry is to all that live. The Lord created me at the beginning of his work, the first of his acts, long ago, ages ago, I was set up at the first, before the beginning of the earth. Where there were no depths, I was brought forth, when there were no springs abounding with water. Before the mountains had been shaped, before the hills, I was brought forth. When he had not yet made earth and fields, the world's first bits of soil. When he established the heavens, I was there. When he drew a circle on the face of the deep, when he made firm the skies above, when he established the fountains of the deep, when he assigned to the sea its limit, so that the waters might not transgress his command, when he marked out the foundations of the earth, then I was beside him, like a master worker. I was daily his delight, rejoicing before him always, rejoicing in his inhabited world, and delighting in the human race. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Let's pray. Gracious God, grant that the words of my mouth and the meditations in the hearts and in the minds of each and every one gathered here, grant that they be acceptable in your sight. O our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I always make sure that I have time to read. When I find that I don't have time to read, when I find that I don't have time to settle down and crack open the page of the book, that is a sure marker, a sign for me that something has gone astray and it's time to lay on the brakes a little bit and find a time for a chair and a book and a glass of wine and to let myself ease back into that way of being. And so I make a habit of it. It's a marker of my own personal health. And for that, and to that end, I make a point of picking out books at semi-random, meaning if I stumble across something and it looks interesting, I'll read it. And I read a book recently that was a little weird, a little peculiar, a little dated. It's an old book, and it's really old, all the way back, 1971. Old book, and some people laugh, and other people laugh with a little sob in their voice. Oh my God, that was so long ago. It was a book written, the book was called Beyond Freedom and Dignity. The name of the book is Beyond Freedom of Dignity, and it was written by B.F. Skinner. Anyone remember B.F. Skinner? Familiar name? Yeah. He may not be front of mind for most of us these days, but this is a name that's worth knowing. It's worth knowing because Burris Friedrich Skinner, that's his full name, was the father of behavioral psychology. He was an experimentalist who explored how and why certain patterns of behavior were formed and created in living things. And that meant that Burris Friedrich Skinner spent a lot of time with rats. His essential view was this: living things exist to avoid pain and to seek reinforcement. And that is the totality of why they make decisions and do things, and that's the only reason living things do anything. If there is a reward, immediate and pleasurable, they will do that thing. And if a thing causes discomfort, they will avoid it. And that, in totality, is B.F. Skinner's view of living creatures. And Skinner tested this a lot using something called an operant conditioning chamber. That's a simple thing, really. You get an animal, and preferably not an animal that people are particularly attached to. So, you know, little kittens or baby pandas, you know, those you steer away from because your funders might not like that. You go with rats and chickens. Something that folks aren't attached to, and then you put it in a box, and that box will have a button. And you teach that creature by actuating the button that if it presses it, something will happen. It might get a reward, it might get a treat, something that feeds it, and if that's the case, then it will press that button. Yay, snack. Great. Or if you want to teach it to do a certain thing at a certain point in time,
Well, that's where Skinner used electricity. You take a little section of the box and you run a little bit of current through it. And whenever subject creature engages in a behavior or does a thing that you want to see if you can train it to avoid, you just zap. And amazingly enough, Skinner found that the animal will stop doing the thing that gets a shock. Insights. Science. But as far as Skinner was concerned, there wasn't really a difference between animal animals and human animals, and he saw the best way to inform and shape human behavior was through the lenses of reinforcement and avoidance. We are just machines conditioned to respond in certain ways to certain inputs. Must have been fun being his children. Might be effective, I don't know, but and that core premise behind his behaviorism underlay this book, Beyond Freedom and Dignity, because Skinner, as a behaviorist, viewed these concepts as antithetical to human progress. The enemy of human progress are the idea of freedom and the idea that human beings have dignity. Just set those things aside, everything will be great. Because he said, well, look, if all we are is just conditionable meat machines, then the idea that there is moral agency has to be abandoned. 200 pages of this I read through. Freedom gets in the way. Because if you assume that people are free, not just things that are conditioned by their environment, then you're making a mistake. And if you assume that one choice confers dignity and another choice is somehow wrong, well, again, you're, as far as Skinner was concerned, making an error, you know? Because he looked at the mechanics of the way living things are and said, well, we're no different. Let's just shape ourselves based on these behavioral things. And really just come to an understanding we're no different from the creatures around us. We have no moral agency. We have no real freedom. We just go where the treat is and avoid the place where the shock is, and that's what we do. Integrity, dignity, moral value, meaningless things. I am not the biggest fan of Skinner, even after reading the whole book, which was surprisingly lacking. He explained his premise, and then he never quite said what he was going to do with that. But, you know, maybe the next book, which he never got around to writing. But it was worth reading in the way that it is always worth really trying to deeply engage with things you disagree with, because the idea that somehow we are part of the universe, that we are part of the world, plays peculiarly off of the other texts that I had been reading and studying. It plays, interestingly, off of what we hear from the book of Proverbs today. Now, Proverbs is biblical wisdom literature, and wisdom literature is about our behavior. It's about our actions. It's about how we function in the universe. Wisdom asks this question: what action is likely to create a positive outcome? And what action is likely to cause us shame and harm? It's fundamentally practical, it's fundamentally grounded in the world, and sort of familiar if you've recently been reading Skinner. As it manifests in the book of Proverbs, that practicality expresses itself in a couple of ways. Mostly what we get in Proverbs are proverbs. Surprisingly enough, from the title of the book, these are pithy little nuggets of binary moral guidance, taught little sayings and maxims and aphorisms, all of which point in the general direction of how we should live a life so that it doesn't get messed up. If you do this, you will do well. If you do that, well, things won't go so well for you. Here is the way of the wise, here is the way of the righteous, and here is the way of the fool. These are sayings that don't provide guarantees, but they establish premises. This is what is most likely to succeed. That's what we're used to in Proverbs, but Proverbs is a richer book than we often give it credit for because it also expresses wisdom through poetry. And that, as best I was able to read it, is what we're hearing in this excerpt from chapter 8. Here is a poem in which wisdom is described and personified. And whenever we hear wisdom personified in Proverbs, it's always the voice of Lady Wisdom, the wise woman. This is a consistent theme throughout Proverbs. It's the way we begin in chapter 1. Here, a woman who offers a choice, who says, here is how you need to live. And she's not just, you know, your smart lady friend or the girl you can go talk to hear what's going on. Wisdom, Lady Wisdom here is expressed through this poem as being fundamentally part of the world. Here she says, I have been here since the moment everything began. I am part of the design of all things. I am part of creation. I am part of the purpose of everything that is. As the universe is crafted by the Creator, so she is a part of it. And that gives us a vision of who she is, but then within wisdom, there are themes that she expresses elsewhere in the text. And that they say, well, what does it mean to be wise? The wise might become wealthy, but wealth is not their goal, because you know that the hunger for wealth destroys. The wise are those who listen to criticism, who listen to concern carefully, and adjust their lives accordingly. The wise know that God loves the poor and the rich equally. The wise know that when wealth is created on the suffering backs of the poor, God holds the powerful to account. Wisdom looks deeply at the world and carefully considers every action. And the wise know that chasing after the desire of the now can compromise your integrity as a person, because wisdom is about that which gives integrity. Because there's nothing more foolish, in the biblical definition of foolishness than being blinded by immediate hunger, by being blinded by immediate self-justification, so that you keep chasing a path that causes harm to you, to your person, or harm to others. Wisdom and foolishness, these are the two poles of Proverbs. And the dynamic between the two of them is where the heart and essence of the human moral struggle occurs. This is part of reality, the meat and flesh and life of creation. And there, in its enfleshedness, lies the similarity between wisdom and the behaviorism of Skinner. Now, Skinner would say it's just reinforcement and aversion. That's it. It's just pleasure and avoidance of pain. That's just the way the universe guides life, the way we're shaped and formed in response to our environment. But wisdom knows that, but goes deeper. It looks not at immediate gratification, the gratification that comes from the moment, from reinforcement, not the hit of pleasure that comes, but at the long arc of a whole life. It's not about immediate mechanics, but it's about purpose and intent. And that purpose, that morality, that dignity is something chosen, something that requires us to step back and look more intently at the consequences of our actions and our engagement. That's the difference between Skinner and wisdom. And it's an important thing to keep in mind, now in particular. I mean, Skinner's not around that much anymore. You don't get him referenced that often, but I think it's important to go back and read him a little bit, because I think now the behavioral model that Skinner established is at play in our lives like never before in ways that are worth being aware of. Why is that? Well, social media, just a thing to pitch out there. What is the business model of social media? What is its purpose? The idea is to get us to more deeply engage with social media, to have our eyeballs on, to be continually engaged with it. And in that part of what has become much of our lives in the developed world just over the last 10, 15 years, really that's not that different from one great, big, all-encompassing operant conditioning chamber. And I mean, I do that. I'm on Facebook all the time. And when I see that you've liked something I do, I'm like, ooh, I have to do more of that because they like it. Oh boy, I got a like and maybe a comment and a share. One of the precious shares that comes so infrequently. That is the business model of Facebook, to make you spend more time on Facebook. That is the raison d'etre of Twitter and Snapchat and Pinterest and Instagram. And I don't know about Google+, because really, does anyone use Google+? No idea. How does that work? We know how it works. It's the liking, it's the sharing, it's your Snapchat score going up. My kids have Snapchat scores. I don't even really know what it means. But they have a score and it goes up and they pay attention and they keep track of it because it's important. You press the button and out comes the reward. Human beings like that reward. We're social. We like it, and social media gives that little burst of serotonin that we get knowing that something we've done has been noticed. That is the whole point of this new thing we stand in encounter with, and I think it's why it's so easy to fall into patterns of repetitious behavior with social media that border on compulsion. It's why if anyone read the Washington Post article yesterday on people struggling to recover from addiction to the internet, an addiction to gaming, where it's this powerful reinforcer that starts taking up more and more and more of a life till you can't really figure out how to feed yourself or do anything else, then click that button and wait for the reward. Come out. We have to be aware of how that functions in our lives, particularly if we use it a lot. Because that medium that thrives on reward in the instant, reward in that particular moment, reinforces a pattern of shallow immediacy. Reinforces a pattern that is different from the reflective, reserved, long view of the wise. Ultimately, our goal is to be a gracious part of creation, to live in ways that support and sustain and allow us to care for one another. And if we find ourselves in a place and in a time that stirs foolish emotive immediacy, it is worth taking the vision of Proverbs and Lady Wisdom standing at a crossroads saying, come this way, don't go that way. And then look at the box that has been constructed around us in the virtual world and ask, what is its purpose? And whenever we find ourselves steered away from grace and steered just into ourselves, let wisdom challenge us, because our creative purpose, our created reason, was not to fold in and serve only ourselves, but to be here supporting justice and grace and mercy in a world too easily blinded by self-desire. When and if you're on Facebook this week, or in the next couple minutes, keep that in mind. hold wisdom's call at your heart and let yourself be guided towards that which gives deep integrity to the whole of your being. That is God's purpose for all of us. Let that be so for you and for me. Amen.
Thank you, Reverend Williams, for an inspiring message. The congregation from Poolsville Presbyterian Church would like to thank you, the listener, for joining us, and we hope that today's message helps you grow in God's grace. We end today's message with our benediction.
Each of us were created with a purpose. And that purpose we know in Jesus. We know His grace. We know His love. We know His call on each of us to spread that grace and love in the world. And yet, the world we are part of would so easily have us forget our purpose. Because we live in a culture of immediacy, of the right now, of the whatever I want to see at this moment. Of the quick and simple reward, of the like, of the follow, of the snap, or whatever it is on the Snapchat. And in those drives to be compelled to the desire of the instant, it is easy for us to forget our common purpose, to forget those things that give us integrity, that are the foundation of our freedom, that are the basis of our dignity as persons. As you step out into a world that threatens to shatter that, hold fast to your dignity and purpose in all that you do and all that you say. Maintain that dignity. And that can be hard, especially on Facebook. Twitter especially, I just don't know how you maintain your kids. Keep your focus and keep your eyes on the goal of your life, which is to live into that kingdom of justice and love that Christ both lived and proclaimed. In the face of all that scatters us and tries to shape us, hold fast to that as a truth that guides. That is our path. And it's sometimes foggy and hard to walk. But that is the goal that we must set before our eyes. Now, may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with all of us. Today, tomorrow, and our whole lives long. Amen.